Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this satsang, this Aspire radio program, is being recorded for Sunday, February 26, 2017, and I'm very grateful to be with you. I truly am. We're going to be looking at fear today and what that's all about, and I hope that I'll be able to serve you. For those of you who have never been with us or haven't listened to us ever before, these radio programs, as well as the TV programs on my website at aspire.org, are made possible by the generosity of my sponsors, and I am humbled and deeply grateful for them. They make everything possible through their tax-deductible donations. And of course, it is important that we have new sponsors, and I hope that you will consider being one after you hear the radio program or peruse the website at aspire.org. Take a look at all the TV programs. And we have made available, and it has taken a long time due to the fact of, mechanics and technology, but we finally got it all done, the width and breadth of it all. When I make TV programs, I usually make a four CD set of all sorts of insights that weren't covered in the TV programs because I don't have enough time. So we have made it possible through the internet and our website, finally, to release all of the past programs. And these date back to the 80s when I was making them on cassette. There is, in total, 129 discourses that you can listen to from the TV programs that I have made over the years. And they are yours for free to download. Do whatever you like with them. They are yours by becoming a sponsor. You also are going to be having access to our podcast, video cast, and commentaries that I do twice a month as well. So becoming a sponsor is a very important thing. It not only serves humankind, but it serves you as well, as all of these discourses are there for you as a way of saying thank you. And I hope that you find them very helpful. They were made in a tremendous amount of love and respect for not only the teachings, but for you and humankind. Hundreds and hundreds of people have listened to them over the years, and I hope that you find great, well, insight and wisdom in your life by listening to them. They're only there to serve you and to be a part of your life in any way that is possible. And I'm very thrilled that we finally got this all going. So become a sponsor. Go take a look at support. You will see how to become a sponsor, why support Aspire on the website at aspire.org, and it will fill you in on everything. Let's talk about one of the major culprits of difficulty, major problems of life. It is called fear. And I want to give you a definition of it as it is in the dictionary: an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or a threat. A feeling of anxiety concerning the outcome of something or the safety and well-being of someone. So there you are. Fear. We live with it. It is a part of our genetic background. It is a huge part of our DNA. And there we are. We live via our DNA and our genetics. And hence, we don't really have much ability to do anything about it, especially when you get the idea that what we are doing here in this world is just trying to survive. Most people have a very hard time living because of this thing called fear. So the first question comes from Heather in Los Angeles. She said, "What exactly is fear? I feel it all the time in the background, and frankly, it motivates me all throughout my day. Not a good thing?" Heather. No, Heather, not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. Women are prone to a certain quality of fear because in your DNA and how your genetics interpret your DNA, you feel like you are vulnerable to the world. Your whole job is to make babies, help populate the world. We're overpopulated. And then to have a family, you know, cook the meals, yada-da-yada-da, stick gatherers, do the wash, yada-da-yada-da. And then what's supposed to happen is the man comes in and he goes and slays the dragon, brings it home, and you cook it up. And that's the way our DNA is. I'm, of course, making light of it, but basically that's the way it works. And it certainly doesn't serve you well at all. None of us. So, yes, you feel fear in the background based on a few things. One is your DNA and how close you are to that via your body. My body, your body is nothing but DNA. The DNA of my body is all about, for a male, is all about being forceful, aggressive, go out there and get that dinosaur, cut him down, eat him up, you know, that kind of thing. Who's the biggest killer in the forest, in the village, and all sorts of things. It just really gets down to, you know, guttural survival. And we have this in the background of our nature. It is certainly there. We usually find it coming up as we get emotionally involved with our life and with ourselves, and where we start to anticipate future emotions, like the future of our life. How many dinosaurs do I have to kill? How many, you know, people do I have to slay in order to keep my little village going? All this stuff is about pure emotionality. Now, you feel it as a woman. Men feel it as men. It may be a little different here, a little different there, but still, it is the anxiety we feel concerning our own survival. That's all it is. It's our anxiety concerning our own survival. We don't want the pain. We don't want to feel threatened. We don't want to lose what we have. So we feel fear. And this fear propagates itself in our bodies and through our emotionality in our bodies and causes us to start thinking, acting, and living in certain ways that are detrimental to the higher purposes of our life. And that higher purpose is love. That higher purpose is the state of love that lives within us. But we aren't interested in that because we feel so inferior to our environment. Our environment is very threatening to us. It's a dog-eat-dog world, as people tell me. And this is the way most people live in this lifetime, dog-eat-dog. So how can a person concentrate on love, as it were, when they're so busy trying to survive their own life? And this is something that has daunted humankind since the beginning. You're going to feel this fear. But Heather, if you only listen to your fear, if fear is the only thing you can hear, the only thing you can feel, then you're going to miss your entire life. I take the attitude of this. If it is going to happen, it is going to happen. Come what may, I mean, how can you make things disappear that are bound to happen? What's bound to happen? Well, if you're going to die, you're going to die. If you're going to be hurt, you're going to be hurt. You can avoid it in many different ways. Wear your seatbelt, yada-da, yada-da, things like that. You know, don't get near a flame with a gasoline. You know, it's common sense things, but most people lack that gene of common sense and just don't have any. It's the whole idea of what is it that is promoting safety and what is it that is inevitable. It is inevitable that I'm going to die. It is inevitable that you are going to die. It is inevitable that there will be danger. You get in a car and you don't know what's going to happen. How many times have we had friends and family get in car accidents, both serious and hopefully not serious, based on how the other person was driving, our what I call little divine rendezvous with other people? It's in the newspaper constantly. You and I cannot control life. And you can do everything you can in the sensibilities of you, Heather, to protect yourself from getting hurt. But if it is in my fate that I am going to meet this or that, that is the way it's going to be. And I set it up many years ago in my life, and you set it up many years ago in your life, and that's just the way it is. I know this sounds terrible to your ears. Everybody is trying to teach you how to avoid fear, but I'm telling you, it's a very difficult thing to avoid fear, almost nigh on to impossible to avoid it. So there you are. The thing that is most important is to understand it and to reconcile yourself with it every day through forgiveness, kindness, and mercy. Those are qualities that, extinguish fear in you. Even Jesus felt fear at the Garden of Gethsemane. Everybody feels it. Don't feel ashamed of feeling fear. Never, never feel ashamed of that. But you're going to have to look at it from the point of view, is this my destiny that I'm meeting? Or is this something that I brought about myself prematurely in my life? Take a look at the way you live moment to moment. Here's what I do. Live for the sake of love, and come what may, live for the sake of love. That's all you can do. Because that's what this life is all about. It is about a love that most people cannot understand. In fact, true love is not something a person can understand. It's something that lives through them. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Todd in, Montana. Is fear a chance to see the meaning of my life? I've often felt it, and in those brief moments, my whole life seemed to take on a new appearance. I'm just curious, Todd. You know, Todd, this is a very interesting and intelligent question you ask. Yes, you're probably right. It is that moment in fear where we recognize our whole life situation, where we drop certain ideas of survival or this is it, I'm going to die. I've had many, many people I've had students do the same thing, silly things they shouldn't have been doing, riding their bikes in careless ways or whatever they're doing, and almost come to being injured or killed. And in those moments, everyone says to me the very same thing. I never felt more alive. Why? Because the inevitability of the situation was right before them. This was what seemingly was going to happen because your life was put in the hands of your own fate. Your own destiny was going to come out of that fate, and there was nothing you could do. And in that very brief moment, there was a quasi-awakening, an awakening about what the meaning of your life is all about, what the meaning of anything you do is all about. And you felt it. You saw it. You generated energy through it. And all of a sudden, there it is. There it is, right there. You have a moment of tremendous alertness. And in that was the substance of life itself. Fear, anxiety, the outcome was of no concern to you at all at that moment. And you found a way inside yourself to understand just for a brief moment the nature of your own living. The curtains opened up and you saw everything for the way it was in that brief moment. Yes, fear can be a chance to see many aspects of your life. And this is why some people just live off fear, the adrenaline of it. They just love it because in those moments, they see it all. Now, they could have that very same thing with meditation, but people don't want to spend time learning it. They'd rather jump off a cliff, out of an airplane, you know, run the rapids, do all sorts of physically dangerous things in order to have that one moment, that one rush. Because it's easier, in a way. You don't have to discipline yourself. It is highly contagious because there's drama in it and all of that other stuff that we like. And we just keep it going and going and going. And nobody questions it. That's another thing, you know. Nobody questions doing dangerous things because people understand, oh, you're bored. You want this, you want that. And that's the way we live our life. We live our life in trying to find not meaning in it, but thrills. Something beyond the things that drive us nuts, our daily humdrum life, the pedestrian mentality life. So we like to do dangerous things. It happens where I live all the time. People are, you know, jumping off cliffs and, you know, trying to fly. And people do silly things. So they go out diving and they don't take the right precautions. There's all sorts of stuff that happens here. Rock climbing around here. Heck, the founder of Esalen died doing that, just sitting there and a rock fell on him. He was in a place he shouldn't have been. No awareness, none whatsoever. I always found that to be rather sad and ironic. But this is the way we are. You can learn the same things in meditation. You can have that gap, that pause, that space where this great beauty comes out, this bliss starts to flow. This is why I teach meditation. This is why it is so very important. When I was in India, which is a very, in the 70s, it was a very dangerous place. And in the 80s, it was very dangerous. It isn't so, well, maybe it is. I've been there since the 90s, so what do I know? But nonetheless, that danger point was what brought a lot of people to India so they could have that experience. But I'll tell you, the sublime beauty of sitting in meditation, wanting nothing with all of your heart, and realizing how beautiful this life really is the most dangerous thing you could do because it threatens the ego to the nth degree. And when the ego gets threatened like that, everything changes. So there you are. Yes, you are right. You are very right, Todd. Most people use fear as a way to appreciate their life. That's how foolish we are. But it can be appreciated without going into danger. Yes, the ego doesn't like meditation. Yes, the pride, the vanity, the whole thing is at stake. But the thing that's most important is, do you reach love? I can always tell a person who's worked on themselves meditatively, they have no enemies. Oh, there are people that dislike them. They have enemies towards them, but the person who is the meditator has no enemies. He just sees people for what they are. And the way they are. And he doesn't expect more and he doesn't do less. He's in non-duality. And it's only in the duality that we fall to our fears. I hope that helps you, Todd. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Jess. And he emails me every so often with some really good questions. And here's the one he gave me the other day. I'm afraid all the time, constantly. No one would know it, but I am. I'm afraid of what others think of me. I'm afraid, Jess. Jess, I did a series, and you can go look at it on the website at aspire.org. I did it many years ago. It's still true today. Nobody, and I mean nobody, likes you anyway. No matter what you do, no matter what you try to do to serve people, to help them, deep in the background where nobody will tell you they exist or they live, there is jealousy and all sorts of things going on in the background. It's just a snake hole pit of hate and fear. Don't worry about what other people think of you. Really, you shouldn't even give that consideration, because I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that if they think the highest of you, you make one little mistake or you do one thing that they don't like, and all of a sudden you've gone down into the holy hell of their opinions. You don't worry about that. Here's what you do. You live to the highest ability that you have inside you to allow love to enter into your life. The highest ability. You let this love pour out of your being. Just let it pour out like hate did and fear did and animosity did. Be the love you seek. And if they hate you because you're doing love, well, what do you expect? If those that are working on themselves see the love that you are doing and they find that what you're doing is deeply kind and respectful, then they'll love you. But getting other people's affection is not what this lifetime is all about. You will garner everybody's affection from time to time. But then again, you'll lose it too, because people have an idea of what is love and what is good, and it's always something that benefits them and has nothing to do with true love in the heart. Nothing to do with it at all. You can bring them the moon and the stars, and it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It has to make sense to their moral ethics. And these moralities that people have are for morons. Morality is something that the collective unconscious has to have because it has no love in its heart. So it has to have rules. And you have to tell it, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie. You have to tell them that. Oh, okay. Oh. And it isn't something that's just a natural part of their being. So somebody tells you the truth based on morality, it's very different than someone who tells you the truth based on love. It's two different things altogether. In morality, it's your duty. In love, it's your kindness. Kindness brings you many beautiful things, many beautiful gifts. So start living your life according to the manner of your own spirit, not the ethics of other people's ideals. Don't be afraid of what other people think of you. What do you care? If you know who you are, if you know what you are, if you have forgiven yourself, you have done very well, and you have set into motion much more beauty than they could ever give you in their affection or their attaboys. I say to you, above everything, let love live you. I hope that helps you. I really do. Don't be concerned. Just be authentic to your heart. Be authentic to your soul. Be authentic to everything that lives within you, and you will find the meaning of your life. I'm out of here. Please forgive me. Namaste. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening. Go take a look at everything that is there for you on the Aspire website. And believe me, it is there just for you to serve humankind. I'll see you next week. Please forgive me, eh? Huh? Namaste.